Amen. Well, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
As I was reflecting on what to say today, I of course, it's obvious, we just finished one of our ministry years. We go July 1 through June 30. And I began to do some reflecting on the year that's passed. My temperament, I don't know about yours, is one, I tend to be very future-oriented, and I drive in the future, and so I don't take as much time to stop and to give thanks and to celebrate as I should. So I want this talk to reflect on the last year and for us to take some time and give thanks to God. So what I'd like to start out with is a responsive reading from Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever.
Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever.
Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom.
One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts.
They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works.
And they will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness, and joyfully sing of your righteousness.
I chose this psalm because of the last verse, and I think when I will proclaim your great deeds, they will celebrate your abundant goodness. And again, as I reflected on this past year, despite all the turbulence, all the things that have happened, all the bumps in terms particularly of the economy, God has been very faithful to us. We have a great deal to be thankful for. I mean, I'm almost overwhelmed by it when I put all the pieces together and see how it's gone. We collect data every year from the annual field reports, and I'm not going to try to just lay out statistics for you, but for about the last decade or so, the number of students that we've had in the fellowship has been relatively flat. It's gone up 1% or down 1%. So when we received the word this year that we were up 4%, it was really a great moment of praise. And please think about this, that it's not 4% of students. It's somebody's son, it's somebody's daughter, it's somebody's sister and brother. It's somebody who's gotten involved with the kingdom, someone who's become a missional Christian. It's a new campus reached. It's the University of California, Merced, where it was a new university entirely. Now there's a chapter of 80 students there. The list goes on in terms of what we're seeing, what this statistic represents. It represents many, many lives. Thanks be to God. You may not know this. It's kind of funny. Usually we don't talk about males in this way, but 62% of the students on campus now are women and 38% are men. The number of males on campus has been diminishing over the years, and we've had a real concern to reach males. So as you can see, our total of 4%, we actually had an increase in the number of men, and that is a thing that we're very thankful for in terms of God's goodness. We love women too. Okay. Greek ministry continues to be just a wonderful, expanding, flourishing ministry for us. Great leadership, and you can see just a real amazing growth year. With ISM, another solid 6%. So we give thanks for the... And by the way, after 9/11, the number of international students began to drop in the country. And now we're seeing we're back above 9/11 levels in terms of the number of international... I think 600,000 international students in the country. So thanks be to God for our international student ministry. Within our ethnic communities, we are at an all-time high with our African-American number of students. Thanks be to God. I mean, we've never had this many, and you can just see just a phenomenal year in terms of growth. Likewise, with our Latino students, this is new territory for us. And with our Asian American students, because there's a larger number, but we are, all three of these ethnic communities, this is the most we've ever had in terms of raw numbers. So I just, thanks be to God, right? We have been concerned over the last decade with our white students. We've seen other ministries coming in and if you will, kind of cherry picking, and that number has been decreasing. So while this looks modest compared to this, it is a significant number. At the cabin level, we've been talking a lot about our white students and how do we draw them in, and how do we, you know, in our multi-ethnic thrust. So this is good news, and pray, one of our prayer requests is that would continue to rise. Amen? Because our mission, it's not about percentages, it's about students that we're trying to reach, and that includes everyone, right? Evangelism. These are the chapters with 30 or more new believers. This last year, was, as far as I can tell, the second most fruitful year we've ever had in our 70-year history. There was a time in 1982 when Billy Graham did an event in North Carolina where 1,000 students became Christians, which skewed all the numbers forever. But if you take that year out, this was the best year we've ever had. I mean, it's just stop and pause and think about it. I mean, almost want to get down on our knees and say, thank you, Lord. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. And these are the chapters with 30 or more students who became believers. University of Maine, Baruch, Sonoma out in California, Houston, UC San Diego, University of Rhode Island. Great stories in each of these. I mean, it's just really wonderful. Bemidji, Illinois, and finally the Greek chapter at Purdue. You know, these chapters that have, I mean, University of Rhode Island is a fairly small chapter. I mean, I think it's like 80 students, and they had 30 new believers here. I mean, UC San Diego is huge. It's 400 or 500, so it's a whole different league. But what you see in all of these is a deep commitment. What's exciting to me about the overall year in terms of evangelism is that we didn't have major evangelistic events on campuses. I mean, York Moore didn't have anything going. Ryan Pfeiffer was on sabbatical out in San Diego. Mark Slaughter was doing some things in the Midwest, but it wasn't through the Big Bang. This was largely through staff. And what we've seen over recent years is an increase in the number of chapters with new believers. So this is becoming much wider, and we're very thankful for that. Do I hear you? I mean, kind of excited, right? I mean, this is good stuff, right? Thanks be to God. I mean, it's just fabulous. At NISIT, this summer, early this month, we had a chapter builder class. Doug Schaub and Val Gordon and about four other people led this. And we have about 860 chapters. And so I'm going to talk about chapter planting in a moment. But we have about 20 chapter planters a year, which is really exciting. We'll get to that. But we have 860 chapters. If we're ever really going to see the impact on the camps we want, it's going to come largely through chapter building. And we have struggled with this. It's like the equivalent of when you go to start a new church, church planting is almost easier than church building because you have existing people and dynamics and DNA. It's almost easier to start all over. Well, with chapter building, we had a one-size-fit-all strategy that worked for some of a certain size, but didn't work for others. So now there's a three-part strategy that's been developed. In spring meetings, we focused on chapter building, and now at NISIT, and there were 40-plus staff who signed up for this class, and I'm really excited how mainstream chapter building is going. We are yet to see, I think, the best days of chapter building, but to me, this is the core, it's a key to who we are. So when we get to the end, during the forum, some time for prayer for chapter building, because this could really change things. I mean, chapters of 20 becoming chapters of 40. Chapters of 40 realizing, oh, there's a niche in campus over here that we could reach, etc. Chapter planters, I must confess, I'm a sucker for chapter planters. This group just touches my heart. It goes back to, when I was 20 and I planted a fellowship for Young Life in Seattle, and I just love what these folks do. This is our current class. There's 23 of them. It's a great group, and it was wonderful to be with them at NISIT. We have now had roughly 40 chapter planters sent out for the first three cohorts, and that's produced about 1,400 new students and 100 and something new believers, and it's just wonderful to see it sort of accumulate. This group of 23 obviously will be a significant, about one-third or more, and we're very excited. Jim Lundgren and his team did a great job at selecting. We need to be in prayer for these folks, and it might be a good idea if we actually posted their names somewhere. I mean, I think we do in the prayer room, but I think it probably we should more widely circulate. Because they face real challenges. They're going into campuses where sometimes there's hostility to them, or coldness, or just apathy, and they have to keep butting their heads up against that. So it's not all sort of glory, believe me. We should be thankful and be praying for the chapter planters. Urbana, again, pausing and giving thanks. At June 30th, we had 6,358 registrants. Last year, in 2006, our last Urbana, at the first price deadline, we were at 6,343. So you can see we're just dead even, almost a little ahead. But last time, Jim tells me, and Rob tells me, we gave financial incentives to early registrants in a way that there were block registrants, there were a lot of people, and some of those didn't actually pan out. So in many ways, not only is this number slightly better, it's actually quite a bit more solid. Going into this Urbana, of course, there's deep concern about the economy. Will students come? And the first indications are very positive. So we need to continue to pray for Urbana, but again, much to be thankful for with the June 30th registration. I think we're up to 6,500. Where are my friends in here? I go bug them. Where are we now? 6,585. All right. Nice. Right on the top of your tongue. That's good. All right. May it continue. In May's Christianity Today, I picked up my copy. Now, this is a month ago. And it was really wonderful to see how many times our ministry, in its various facets, mentioned. Started out with an ad for IVP, Longing for God, a book by Richard Foster and Gail Beebe, in the Formatio line. Then you can't read this, of course, in the little fine print. I just joined the board, had my first board meeting in June. Their major article was on nonprofit giving, and I was interviewed and was able to represent InterVarsity. There's several quotes in the lead article, which was nice. This was a next article by Alistair McGrath, who's one of our IVP authors. And then Greg Fung and his father, who's a doctor, wrote this article about what does prayer do in terms of impacting health. And so I just kept turning the page and I kept seeing names I knew. And I thought, you know, this is really cool. I should mention Andy Crouch, who is former InterVarsity staff at Harvard, is mentioned several times through the magazine as well. This is Joshua Dubois, who is the White House's point person on faith-based initiatives. And I have, along with probably about six other people, monthly calls with him. And I just tell you this story, and I hope it doesn't sound like name-dropping, but it's kind of cool how the Lord opened this door. The topic of the conversation was the president's speech in Cairo, and what should he say to the Muslim world. And I'm assuming that they had these conversations with the Catholics, with the Jews, with, you know, all the religious groups. So we were kind of the evangelical group, and Dwayne Lifkin, the president of Wheaton, and I punched two points. We said, if he can mention Christian religious minorities, particularly the Copts in Egypt and the Maronites in Lebanon, that would be great. And be sure not to syncretize or blur the religions. Respect the religions, keep them separate. And as I listen to the talk, there's one point where in sequence, President Obama talks about the Maronites and the Copts. And I kind of went, whoa. So I later called Joshua and I said, you know, that was amazing. And I don't know that we were the only ones who suggested that, but it was really rather remarkable to feel that in that significant of talk, that got into the talk. I think the other piece was that I'll be a little careful here, that I think there has been some syncretism in the view of this administration, but there wasn't in that talk. It was very clear that Islam was the law of Christianity, and it wasn't to the lowest common denominator, and I was really thankful for that. So anyway, so that's another piece. And then the last two, there were like nine mentions of InterVarsity in this edition. It was really interesting. This was an Urbana ad, which of course is on page one, I think, or has been on our website. Some of our servant partners, folks who've gone off to Thailand. And then finally, an IVP review of one of our books dealing with immigration. So I just went, you know, this is just wonderful, the range of InterVarsity and the ministry and the effect that we're having on culture. Amen? Amen? Amen. 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 All right, finances. Over a five-year period, our average in July, we start a little high and then we kind of slide and we end up at 5%. You with me? Now, you've seen this chart before. And that's an average year. And you can see that 2006 and 07, 3 years ago, was an average year, right? We ended up pretty much there. But 07, 08, which is the yellow line, was not an average year. And if you remember, the recession really started right around here in November, December of 2007, and you can see it. It just hit us, and then we tailed off at 2.5. When we started this year, this fiscal year, 08, 09, of course, we were very concerned. And you can see the red line here, it was pretty bad. September was good, but then it just kept going down. And I remember our first forum we had here, we were down 2.9%. And there was a feeling that Mark had that we were heading down to 5 minus 5. And of course, all the ramifications and concerns that would have brought. But look what happened. It just kept going up and getting closer and closer to zero. I don't know about you, I'm looking at Beth. I mean, it's just amazing. God has done great things. I want to credit Jim Lundgren and his team for really working with staff. There are several things that were done to help staff out with their fundraising. But in actuality, and I'll get to this later, but I want to mention now, field staff giving was actually up 0.7%. Core giving, as it's defined, includes several other factors. So actually, our field staff giving was up. And you know, apart from Young Life, I'm thinking of all the ministries I know. I can't think of any others that actually were up. So we have just a great deal to be thankful for. I did mention that campus giving was up. I also want to mention that the NSC this last year underspent by $645,000. So thank you very much. I know that entailed sacrifices. I know that entailed some open positions that were kept open long, and that many of you carried double weight as a result. So I want to pause and thank you for that. As I said before, though, I don't want us to relax. I sent out a memo a few weeks ago. We are still in the stew in terms of, that's overstated, but we're still in the middle of a storm. That's a better way to put it. And we have to be very disciplined and tight this next year. So thanks be to God for getting us through this first part. We now have to get through the second. We have to remain vigilant, all right? The good news is, because of the finances, I think things are fairly stable. And again, something we can be very thankful for in light of what's happening in a lot of nonprofits. Vision campaign, again, things to be thankful for. Our current giving, there are two goals in the campaign: to raise $10 million for the current giving and $10 million for planned giving, basically. $20 million total. And we have until December 31 of 2010 to get people's intents in the door, and then they can give for another year or two. So you with me? So the intent is kind of the critical term here. And as of February, we were at $6.25 million, and frankly, we had stalled. We hit October with the recession, and for about 4 months, it just nothing really moved. But look at the last 4 months. We had a real surge at the end of the year, and now we're within $2.7 million of completing our goal. So we've got 6 months this calendar year and 12 months next calendar year. And it's one of my prayer concerns that we could actually get to the $10 million. Now, the reason, to remind you, the money that goes to it goes for evangelism, chapter planning, chapter building. It goes for leadership development. So it's not really much in the way of brick and mortar. There's some IS stuff and some camp stuff, but most of it really is about direct ministry. In the plan giving, we've received $6 million of that already. Plan giving, our goal is 10, and we have over $14 million already in intent. I think, Gary, we've received about 131,000. Of course, the awkward thing there is you don't want people to die so you can receive the gifts, but that's when it happens. IVP is an area that we can pray for. This is not new news either. The whole publishing industry is going through upheaval, and it's very hard. The final years, actually, IVP had a good June, had a very good June, and that was kind of a pleasant surprise. Sales were at $13 million, which is down 6.7% compared to last year, but against budget, it was 13%. So that's a pretty good whack. Expenses, they cut $1.2 million. So because IVP had reserves, they were able to balance the budget, but we need to pray for them. Sitting on the Christianity Today board and watching other parts of the publishing industry, it's just we're going through a real revolution, and it's impacting newspapers first, then magazines, and then books. And with Kindle and some of the other pieces that are coming on with the books, we're not really sure what that's going to mean long term. So pray for wisdom as we move forward with IVP, and that they would have a good summer. I think June was so good that they came up with a positive variance as compared to the revised budget, if I can put it that way. So that felt good after a difficult year. Let me close in prayer here. Lord, as the psalmist wrote, we pause and give thanks for your goodness and grace. We are in awe and totally undeserving of your good works and good deeds towards us. Lord, I thank you for all the sacrifices represented in this room, for the extra hours, the double hatting, the non-salary increases represented for all of us in this room, Lord. And I thank you that we are a community who serves and works for the kingdom. Lord, in the midst of a time when we as a fellowship could have become myopic and navel-gazing, Lord, instead you gave us a grace, a gift of a very good year. We are profoundly appreciative. And Lord, we pray for the new staff. We pray for those who work so hard on their funding this year. We thank you for the chapter planners and builders and the evangelists. We just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our midst. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.